Let's say our opening prayer. What do you say? O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
Beloved Jesus Christ.
Beloved Jesus Christ.
Blessed Master.
Blessed Master.
Dearest Mother.
Dearest Mother.
Beloved David.
Beloved David.
Saints and sages of all religions.
Saints and sages of all religions.
I bow to all of you.
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles.
Free my life from all obstacles.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only king.
Be thou the only king.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Peace. Bliss. Amen. Let's do a little short meditation, please.
Oh.
My Bible reading this evening is from Psalms 145. Starting with verse 15. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. And from John chapter 8, starting with verse 27. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then Jesus said to the Jews, which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And from John 17, starting with verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the word hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, What is truth? And there's two ways of looking at truth for our teachings that come through Mother. And one is on the horizontal plane about facts and things. And then there's this truth, the singular aspect of truth, which is that which points to God, to points in the vertical axis. Buddhi, discrimination, the higher mind. This is the realm of truth. And this is what we are taught to point to find. And we are to look upon the third eye point as the source of that truth, ultimately relying on that alone. And from that state, we shall speak the truth. We shall know the truth. After all, this is the pure essence of God. And it is, as it descends down from God, it is the manifestation in words of God's truth. And so it can't help but point to that which is true here. It's reflected many times as it comes down from God. And we can be forgiven for having difficulty in ferreting out the truth in each thing that comes before us. But first of all, we are taught that all is God. World is God, and all is God. There is only God. So if our minds are so constructed that we want to know the truth, we want to know how this world works, it takes time and it takes some discrimination. It takes some looking for the nuance, starting from the position, though, not of knowing truth and knowing and trying to find truth, but assuming, starting from the position that all before us is the truth. That is the truth, and it is up to us to find it. We needn't be worried about whether it is truth or not. That's a far more effective way to go about this. We always start, in Mother's teachings, we always start with the fact that God is who directs everything and to whom we address everything and to whom we are speaking, even though it looks like a person, it looks like something or someone that is different from ourselves. But once we know ourselves, once we know the truth about ourselves, we see it then reflected in everything. This world is a hall, is a house of mirrors. But fragments of mirrors can give an image that looks different than that which it comes from. Because it's pieced together in small fragments of mirrors. The mirrors only have light because of that which is coming from God, the only light in the universe. We are cast by our own request and prayers and entreaties to God, we are cast into the face of the deep, into this world where all is forgotten of what we are, of what we, who we are. Because this is what existence is. It is required of us to go about it in this way. Because this is our desire that God put in us, that we asked God for. We wanted to know what possible things we could imagine and come up with. And we wanted then to see how we would draw that and construct it. And then we asked the really difficult thing, to go into that realm, into that world that we live in here, and to pretend to be, to at request of God, that we be given a way of understanding this from the point of limitations. We sit upon that which is the truth. It's rock hard. It is firm, a foundation, and firm in all of its meanings here. we have to go into the inner self to see beyond it. The senses hold our gaze. They hold our attention, our focus, at our request. Now I say that, of course. And when we get buried down into this world, beneath the face of the deep, we have fear and we have lack of understanding. But we get to experience everything through the senses. We get that. We want that. We got it. But when we want to return, why is it we can't just return? Who's in charge here? Karma is a way of making promises for the future self. And time is the policeman, or the truant officer, that is insisting on following the rules that are set by you, by me, by God, to construct this universe. And time passes things through it, like beads on a string. And in ever-widening wonder and amazement, we see how this world is either constructed, if that's important to us, or how it is unfolding before us in a marvelous kaleidoscope. If we give up on fear and worries, and I'm not saying that this is easy to do at all, but it is essential to do. And this is why we meditate, this is why we spend time in prayer. It is to force the hand of God, to force back the constraints of time. But even while we're doing that, time is passing. And so with great yogic techniques, we can make time pray the beads of its laws faster. And when we meet a great teacher, a great guru, well, first of all, it gives us clarity on what we're about. And then the great guru teaches us. Now he or she cannot teach us that which we don't want to understand. We want to do this in stages. We want to unfurl that which was wound up in the way, in the opposite way it came. We're carefully constructed in time and space. So we have to carefully deconstruct. God is marvelous to behold. And when I say that, as I say that, it is that I feel myself to be that marvelous construction, the author of that construction. There's an element that feels that. That element is the pure fact of existence. It is the pure reality of who we are, what we are about, what this is all about. We think of God loving us, and we love God. We learn to love God as we learn more about Him. And we accept that though we can't understand everything, we accept that He is the be-all and end-all, that He is what we're really all about. He's the way back to God. Religion means to crawl back. So we do this religiously. But we learn, when we learn real love, which is a place, is a feeling, it's a mode of being that takes away all fears, or has perhaps a better way to say, perhaps is a place in which we are safe. Sounds silly because it sounds childish to say we want to feel safe. But everyone can understand that we don't want to feel fear. And safety is a place of no fear. And when we comprehend God as that, which is our true self that we love, and this love is a welling up of the power within us and expressing itself freely, it automatically creates a world, a cocoon of wealth of love. Huge amounts pouring through us, more than we can contain. Bliss and ecstasy. But without end. So what is that like? Ecstasy we always think of as an ecstatic state that we achieve for a short time and then it's gone. And so bliss is where ecstasy ends, or at least it is grounded in that. Bliss is the great goal. It's the great measure of nearness to God. When I was first with Mother, I think I've come to understand more about those days, those first few years with her, because they were so powerful and they were so archetypal, perhaps. But as I look back, I had no sense of fear because I had some certainty that I was about my father's business. I was about the goal, the destiny that I knew that I had. Not in some great thing necessarily, but I knew that it was my destiny for this little speck of God. And so as you enter into that realm created by the great Guru, it's a great warm feeling of certainty, to the extent many uncertain things go through your mind. But there is a certainty that if I don't know everything, Mother does, or the Guru does in all cases. Because first of all, that's a good practice. But secondly, you do find yourself feeling it. And that gives you freedom. So I know I talk a lot about the fear that I had for Mother. But you know, the word awe in the Bible is fear of God and awe. These things are really, really wonderful things. Because we can't look aside, we can't look away. We never seemed like we got enough time with Mother. And when she was with us, we were just so filled with that sense of awe. Something, anything could happen. Now, things, extraordinary things didn't happen to the group of people. Individually, individuals would have changes in them. But it was still the sense of potential, the sense of what? Certainly awe, and certainly safety. But this, the sense of completing one's destiny, of being about something great. Because everybody's life is great, no matter how many lifetimes. They've got an arc through time. And if this is our last lifetime or near the end, there's a lot to reconsider, there's a lot to deal with. And to remember the pageantry of history, of the individual soul contained in the larger history, of the many souls contained within the oversoul. The oversoul is yourself also. And the oversoul is part of a whole body of souls, which were all created by the upper plane of causal being. This is who we love, we learn to love. And that is the doorway into the sixth center. That's the doorway. If we can focus on that person in the causal plane that we truly are, that is the Christ. And though it seems difficult to understand or maybe unreasonable to assume that we can see ourselves as the Christ. And it is an evolution to see that, and it is an evolution to really comprehend that in this realm here, because this realm, much is hidden. But then you can focus on that last person, on the Jain. And then you attain full realization by going through the sixth center. Learning the lessons from that. The scope of God known at that level is simply awe-inspiring. And it's, I'm sorry to always say this, because it's the only way that I can think of it, and that is that our existence itself, the fact that we exist, what does that mean? Who exists? What is existence? There's only God. There's only one. But you know, Mother taught me so many lessons. I once wrote to her about duality and the fact that the symbol of infinity that I drew for on a drawing for her, I explained to her that infinity is automatically implied by two, when you have two. When you only have one and you don't know of infinity, you have the potential of understanding it with two. But Mother said, no, even with the idea of one, infinity is implied, because one is still a limiting thing. You know, Mother grows in my estimation. I remember David talking in that way too, you know. He always respected Mother and really, really understood her, really relied on her and trusted her completely. That all would be explained or understood. All would be well. But his loyalty. You know, he was just in such a state, probably from his birth, that when Mother came into his life, and I have to say this is true for me too, but he, because David talked about it in this way, and that's when I said what I said a minute ago, it reminded me of him saying such things. Got to the point where it didn't matter what Mother did on the outside at all. We were attached to her, and we would take whatever came to us because of our attachment to her. And she took us through quite an interesting, very, very interesting path and story that only by fixing and keeping God focused in our minds and not being affected by anything externally, because everything was destroyed by Mother. You know, really it was. See, even her own body was damaged and destroyed. Can you see it still? Can you still see God? Is this still a worthwhile project? My gosh. You simply just marvel. You marvel at her. Myself, I can't say that I had any ownership of that connection. I had to, or I didn't. It was automatic as soon as I met her. Though it changed a little bit initially, I got her better in perspective. From the very beginning, I was completely entranced, but later came to be completely caught up in her life that I wanted to be a part of, to measure myself by. But I already felt like a child of a wealthy person, because so much was given to me that I hadn't earned. In this lifetime, I didn't feel like I had earned it, but I did enjoy it. Much like a child of a wealthy man, just takes things for granted. So, although I'm describing Mother, I'm describing really the guru-disciple relationship, the disciple and God relationship, no matter how it looks on the outside. For Master, it was Sri Yukteswar, very different world, but the connection to God was the same type of connection. And we are lucky enough to have Master come to this world and inspire people to set that pattern here too. It's easy, isn't it, to follow up the chain of our lineage. And I don't mean to say our lineage is greater than anybody else's or anything. It's just our family. We have a father that we dearly love and a mother that we dearly love. And they've been good to us. And we're caught up in their life. And ain't it grand, truly? And so different than any of the superhero stories or anything. Because those superhero stories are all on the horizontal plane. And we've learned a secret to look up and to see the interaction of the intercession, the interaction of the vertical plane, the divine plane, the interaction of that with this. with this plane that we are focused on and have to be focused on to know this world and to operate in this world. And then the doors, the light comes down from above and we see the world completely differently. We hear people talk about such things, other great writings, other great things. But when you experience it, it illuminates every aspect of the horizontal plane, every aspect of your being. You can find God, you can find the Guru in every single thing, every little chip of light, everything of the stained glass windows, the kaleidoscope, however you want to see it. It's only one light behind it all. But does that do it? Does that explain it? Not really. It's a way, it's an analogy, it's a way of thinking about it, that if you ruminate on that, it goes deeper, much deeper. But it does make this world easier to comprehend and easier to move about in freely. The truth shall set you free. I love that quote. Let me read that again. And then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, nor do I always those things that, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then Jesus said to those Jews, which did believe on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, make you free. And ye shall know the truth. You know, the Christians have a teaching that Jesus came to resolve all the issues of Adam and Eve. And I think that's a wonderful way to think of it, because they wanted to, as they're reaching out into the world and at the early days, they wanted to know the knowledge of good and evil why would you want to know that? Well, that's the way that you explore the world. That world that is dual in nature and can be seen fully evil and fully good. The extremes are there, but the reality is neither. And so Jesus comes and tells us that that's all been paid for and it's all been resolved. I love that notion that it is a resolution that Jesus represents, but all great masters do. They represent that promise of Adam and Eve that they will be man, that God will come down and set you free, that will give you salvation for you to go back to the Garden of Eden. Pay the price. So there's a lot of, in a great esoteric sense, it is true that what the Christians claim is true. Unfortunately, they, and I guess, again, they're not all that wrong. I don't mean to harp on this as though they're stupid. They're not. But they are repeating things of great masters in the Christian tradition that knew this stuff deeply and intimately. They were aware of these things, and they made these great statements, and they've been, and for those who can understand it, there's still, that truth is still there. but the way it's sold on the retail level oftentimes is not exactly accurate. But it is a story that helps with understanding. Any thoughts for any of that? You know, some of these silent pauses that I'm prone to, and we all are, when I put the talks up on the web, I have to reduce them considerably because, you know, with these modern recordings, there's no noise. You literally can't hear a thing through the microphone nowadays. They're so wonderful. There's no tape hiss or anything. So...
that's the space for God.
That's right. It's not because I'm befuddled. Thanks, that's true.
Well, it is, Larry, because you don't have a canned sermon you're giving us. It's all written down ahead of time, and you can just say it completely fluently, so those... pauses, let us know that you're listening into God.
Absolutely true. But I'm also aware of the contrast to David and Mother, because they had a continuous free flow. And it reflects in me, I think, a lack of complete faith or catching hold of the thread completely. And I find I have to reacquire the thread. But these are all excuses and they probably don't mean a thing. It's different ways of talking for everybody. But I do contrast that and I do am conscious of that. How when listening to David and to Mother, how this process works in them was truly, truly marvelous. But of course, each person is different too, so we have to allow for that.
I'm thinking about what Papa said, let the mind sink into the soul and lose itself. And so even though your words really touch beautiful places inside of us and we recognize the truth, those lovely pauses take us to a very nice place. Like.
Sometimes they do for, yeah, I think so too, yeah. Yeah, it's a mystery, but yeah. You know, one thing that is interesting about Mother is that she always closed her eyes. Normally, most of the time, she would sometimes have her eyes open, but rarely. And that even speaking in public or in a group of people, it's still easier to close your eyes. And I've always... you know, I remember at the time when I was with Mother that we would always be having our eyes closed anyway. Just we were just drawn inward. But also we were just following the example of Mother. But, proves to be a very powerful, I don't want to say technique, but a powerful practice. It's a powerful practice. It looks a little odd, I think, to some people, and they come to church for the first time, and Mother or David are closing their eyes. But it is clear too that if you open your eyes, your attention is diverted. So it is. You know, too, I'll bring up this interesting aspect that I've noticed with great natural speakers, raconteurs. And, you know, I've always loved Billy Crystal when he did the Academy Awards because he was so natural and so able to talk about anything that comes into his mind. And, you know, he didn't have to filter heavily everything because he was really just speaking from a fairly pure person. I don't mean to say there's anything great about him in the spiritual sense, although there might be. Some of these people have these charismatic effects. And I think of Johnny Carson, but other people too, they could just be confident, standing in front of the whole world and making jokes that, you know, will they fall flat? Some of this is practiced, but I still recognize it as some great power, some great thing. Because it's the confidence to step out in faith, to have developed a personality sufficiently that you trust that what will come out of your mouth will be pleasant, funny, or worth listening to. And doing segues from one thing to another requires that impromptu speaking. And that is, I'm sure you can practice it, get better, but some of it is born. Some people are naturally that way. So, anybody else?
You're getting some no responses, Larry, because everyone's feeling so uplifted. So go.
I hope so. I hope that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you let your mind roam on these notions, it is delightful. It's sweet. You know, you can just feel Mother and David here with us so strongly. She's just never, if you really, you will fail, but I mean, you still, she never fails if you really can focus on her. David's the same way. They're right here, always here, and especially when the need is there. Say our closing prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father.
Oh, Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
Of thy glorious presence.
Of thy glorious presence.
In every part of my being.
In every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
And surrender myself to thee.
and surrender myself to thee.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
Surging in every cell of my body.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
My mind and my intelligence.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
Of my communion with thee.
Of my communion with thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Funny thing is, it's so